Hey guys, it's Tyler. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today where we talk faith, family, and focus in your life and your leadership. You know, juggling all of these things, it is so hard to keep track. Sometimes our heart can become so restless under the stress and the responsibility of all these facets of life. And that's why I wrote my book, Restless, Finding Rest in a Restless World. You can go to my website and get a free copy of that book, a free paperback copy of that book at tylerarobertson.com/restless. So if you haven't done that yet, head on over to my website and do that. Grab a free copy of that book, Restless, Finding Rest in a Restless World. And with that, let's dive into the episode.
Welcome to the Navigators Podcast, the podcast that equips men and women to steer the course of biblical Christianity in our culture today. Each week, we discuss faith, family, and the cultural trends that are sure to impact the local church. Join Tyler Robertson as we study God's Word together.
Last week, we introduced the idea of toxic productivity. What in the world even is toxic productivity? It is when you are so productive that you are letting the relationships in your life deteriorate. You're literally letting the relationships that matter the most in your life, your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your church and church people, you're letting the relationships in your life fall to the side because of your work. And that's not just necessarily your job. That's also in your mindset, because there's some people where once they clock out, they still have a mindset of work. They still have a mindset, I've got to go, I've got to achieve, I've got to do. And sometimes this is driven by guilt. Sometimes people feel guilty for maybe their past. Sometimes they feel guilty for this or for that. And so they try to work to make up for it. They say, well, if I work hard now, then payday will soon come, right? But payday never comes because your life is happening right now in front of you. It's happening right now. And what happens is what toxic productivity does when you get out of balance, okay, in your life, you put what you're doing above who you are in Jesus Christ. You put your work above Christ's work. When you do that, it becomes toxic in your life. It begins to destroy the relationships that matter the most. And last week, we introduced two facets, if you will, of toxic productivity. One being workaholism. Workaholism, literally someone who's addicted, like someone who's addicted to drugs or someone who's addicted to alcohol. You are addicted to work. You're addicted to what you are trying to accomplish, what you're trying to achieve. You're addicted. And literally, it becomes the number one thing in your life. And we listen to the problem of that. The problem of workaholism is it strips you of the gift of being present. Right? You're not present. You're so busy working. You're so busy trying to achieve. Like, you've got your eyes set on the destination so much that you miss the beauty of the moment. You're working so hard to find this oasis, to find this, well, if I could just work hard, I'll get this one day. I'll have rest one day, or I give my family this, or I can give my wife this. I can give my kids this. And what I've seen happen many times, even in just my few years of youth ministry before I came here to this church, is I've seen parents, they work hard. They work hard, and they're hard workers, and praise God for that. But they work hard to buy their kids a bunch of nice things. And what happens before they know it, they've worked so hard. They've taken time away from their family to work. And then what happens? By the time they've realized what they've missed, it's already gone. That person in their house who they thought was their little girl is walking across the graduation stage, grabbing a diploma. They realize, I missed a lot. I missed a lot. And what I'm trying to challenge you to do is not to have that regret. Not have the regret of letting work, of letting something that, by the way, like we said last week, it's a good thing. God created you for work. Not letting work destroy the relationships in your life that matter the most. And then we looked at another facet of toxic productivity, which is hyper multitasking. It is literally this itch that you've got to be doing something. It is the itch that you've got to be doing all these things. You've got to, and what happens is you try to do all these things, you do none of them well, right? You got 47 different programs running, but none of them work well. Sometimes maybe we need to trim some fat and say, Lord, what is the most, what holds the biggest priority in your mind for me? What's your purpose? Where, Lord, do you want to take me with the things that I'm doing now? And if that includes me cutting out some things in my life, I will. And so sometimes we find ourselves multitasking. We saw some of the detriments of that with memory loss and increases chronic stress. So don't be a hyper multitasker. Learn to focus and say, God, what do you want me to do in this moment? Rely on Him to help you in those moments. Another facet of toxic productivity is the neglect of essentials. So what do you mean? The neglect of the essentials. What are the essentials? Well, the essentials are rest, like physical rest. I'm not talking spiritually now about rest. I'm talking about physical rest. 8 hours of sleep a night, right? Daily exercise, a nutritious diet, right? Food and water. That is essentials for our body. And the Bible does have a lot to say, by the way, about our bodies and how we steward our bodies for Him. I'll leave a link in the description below, but I just wrote an article a few weeks ago of how to steward our health for Christ and why our health matters to God. Because, by the way, it does matter to God what we do with our bodies. The Bible has a lot to say about what we do with our bodies because we only get one, right? We only get one. And what happens sometimes is we can have such a drive to be productive that we neglect the essentials. As we said earlier with workaholism, we neglect the relationships that matter most, but then we start neglecting things like we skip lunch because we're so busy, right? Probably not the best decision. And there's a desire in all of us to get something done, but sometimes it can come with a price. We stay up late trying to finish that 20-page research paper that we procrastinated on, or we get such a rush of busyness that we fail to eat lunch, like I mentioned earlier. Friends, that is not healthy. And this is neglectful to the basic essentials that our bodies need in order to function as God intended. And here's what's cool. We are triune beings, right? Triune, what does that mean? Three in one. You are literally three in one, just as God is. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26, we were made in the image of God. So what does that mean? God is three in one. He is the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, you are also three in one. You are also triune, right? Makes up your personhood. You are body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And we need to nurture all of those things. Nurture our mind. Nurture our soul, yes. But nurture our body as well. And I think there's kind of this lackadaisical or just weird thinking when it comes to our health and how we steward our bodies, right? Especially among Christians, we kind of think, well, that's a separate category. We don't really talk about that. We don't need to talk about our diet. We don't need to talk about none of that stuff, okay? It's all about spiritual work, amen? Praise the Lord, right? And we neglect our bodies. And we don't realize that our bodies, we are only given one. And when God talks about stewardship in the Bible, okay, He does not leave out your body. God wants you to take care of your body, to not let it have control over you. The Bible talks all the time about the flesh having control over the spirit. What does that mean, your flesh? Literally your body. You're the part of you that desires things, right? It's your body, your flesh. Don't let those desires rule over you, but let the Holy Spirit of God rule over you. And we've got to understand that when God commands us to be good stewards, He includes our bodies, right? He includes our bodies and what we do with our bodies. And as I said, God has a lot to say about what we do with our body. Here's a verse. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, your body, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We are literally the temple of God. We are the house that He worships in. And when you trust Christ, He comes and resides in your body, literally in you. That's why when we say, you're the hands and feet of Jesus, you're literally the hands and feet of Christ. We are one in Christ. Just as a woman and a man are one when they become married, we are one in Christ when we trust Him as our Savior. And we are literally His temple. So don't you think that we need to take priority of how we treat our temple? How we treat the temple of God? Absolutely. Because why? Because there is a spiritual work that God wants to do on the inside. But if the outside is always down, if the outside is always sick, and I'm not talking about sicknesses you can't help. I'm not talking about that. Okay, I'm not even going there. I'm talking about things that you can help. Having a healthy diet, having a daily regimen of exercise. Those type of things that will keep your mind and your body functioning longer and healthier. So understand, God does not neglect the stewardship of your body in regards to stewardship of your life. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Literally the basic essential things like eating and drinking. What does He say? He said, I want you to do them all to the glory of God. I truly believe that many people are restless because they neglect the essentials. Steward your body and your health for the cause of Christ. And just say, God, I'm going to like my finances, like my family, like all these other areas of my life. I'm going to take this body that you've given me and I'm going to use it for the best of my ability. I am going to be responsible with the body that you give me. And then the last facet we're going to talk about when in regards to toxic productivity. So we talked about workaholism. We talked about neglecting of the essentials. We talked about hyper-multitasking. But then the last one, and I think the one that kind of just intertwines in all the others, is hurry sickness. Hurry sickness. I read a book a few years ago. It was called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Comer. And it honestly changed my life in many ways. Many ways. But certainly in the way that I realized how busy I lived my life. Even being self-employed, writing my own schedule, doing everything that I want to do on my own terms, on my own time. I realized just how restless I was. And I realized through reading that book how hurried I was. It was like I always have to be somewhere, right? Do you know somebody like that? That literally when they get to a stop sign, they're like, come on, they're tapping the wheel, they're tapping the gas, come on, come on, hurry up and turn so I can go. Right? You ever see people like that on the road? They got road rage? Man, I don't know about you, I can't stand people with road rage. I cannot stand it. People that go 80 miles an hour to pass you on the highway just so they can get off the exit and stop at the stop sign, and then they get up to the stop sign and you both get up there. You pull up behind them going real slow and you just stop real slow, right? And you've already caught up with them. I get so sarcastic when I get behind the wheel. My wife, she laughs so hard because I get so sarcastic. I'm like, good job, dude. Yeah, you just passed me going 80 miles an hour in a 65 zone and just to get up here to stop. Isn't that great? I get so sarcastic. Do you know somebody like that? It's just they're always in a hurry. And it's like, and then they turn, they go past the stop sign, and then they turn into like Chick-fil-A or something. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, you literally risk your life and my life just because you needed to go to Chick-fil-A? Like, are you serious right now? People that always seem to be in a hurry are restless people. They have what John Ortberg called hurry sickness. He said this. He said, hurry is not just a disordered schedule. Hurry is a disordered heart. I like that. It is a disordered heart. A heart that is pent up with energy to try to go and do and be and see. And they're so busy that they have hurry sickness. So restless. Their inner man is so restless. Because they're always on the next thing. And on the next thing. And on the next thing. And like we said earlier, they literally miss their life because they're so hurried. I have found myself there. I don't know if you've ever found yourself there. It's kind of funny. My father-in-law used to drive me crazy at the golf course, partially because he was my golf coach in high school, so I always felt his analytical glare as I stood over the ball, you know, but mainly because we just play the game vastly different. Very, very different. I'm the kind of golfer who likes to take my time, right? If I'm going to pay $30-some to play 18 holes, I'm going to get my money's worth, right? I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to breathe in the intoxication of the freshly cut Bermuda grass, right? I'm going to enjoy it, right? I'm going to experience the course. But no, that is not my father-in-law. My father-in-law does not play the game like me at all. He's on the other end of the axis. He's like, one practice stroke, I'm going to step up there, hit the ball. I don't even care. I don't even care where it goes, right? With the mumble of, well, I'll get better. Or, I meant to do that if he hits it up on the green. There was always this mentality that it's like, I can't think about the shot that I'm hitting right now because I'm on the next shot. And he would even admit that. He would even say, yeah, well, I wasn't thinking about that shot because I was thinking about if I got on the green, then the kind of putt that I would have. I'm like, no, play the shot in front of you first and then play the other shot. He was always a shot ahead. He was always on the next hole. And it was like, come on, we got to hurry. We got to, where are we going? Well, we got to get to the next hole so we can get to the next hole so we can get home so we can do nothing at home, right? That was kind of the mentality. And I can tell you now, okay, after picking on him a little bit, he is so much better to play golf with now. Okay, he is, now that he's retired, he's a retired evangelist and he likes to kick back and enjoy the round, talk his way through it. I mean, it is a pleasure to play golf with him now. But he used to drive me crazy. What is that? That is hurry sickness. One author said this, for many of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It's that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. I think that's a great quote. It comes from The Time Cure by Philip Zimbardo and Rosemary Sword. So true. We can skim our lives. And in that book, they give you some of the symptoms of hurry sickness, and these kind of intertwine all with what we've talked about. But moving from one checkpoint line to another because it looks shorter or faster, counting the cars in front of you, and either getting in that lane that has the least or is going the fastest, right? And you don't even have anywhere to be. Or multitasking to the point you forget one of the tasks. You're literally just forgetting. And we talked about that earlier with hyper multitasking. You just forget because you are skimming your life. Michael Zigarelli, I think is how you say that. I may have slaughtered that last name. From the Charleston Southern University School, he did say something good. So I'll give you his quote. He said this, "It may be that Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to what we talked about earlier, deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness and hurry and overload. And then what? The cycle begins again." Did you catch that? I mean, literally, we give in to busyness and hurry and overload because we think that's the right way to success. And then we become more marginalized, right? We squeeze God out of our schedule. And then our relationship with God begins to deteriorate. Other believers, our relationship with them begins to deteriorate. And then Christians become more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions, and that hurry and overload and busyness is the way of success. And we adopt that, and the cycle just begins again. And we just digress and digress and digress into this thing called toxic productivity. Productivity cannot give us the rest for our souls. It may make us more tired, resulting in slightly better sleep, but the drive to be productive is just a mask to cover up the secrets of a restless heart. Can I challenge you, okay, This may be one of the reasons why you are restless. It's because you are so busy. You have hurry sickness. You suffer from hyper multitasking. You're trying to just do everything all at once. Be everybody's superhero. Be there for everybody, right? We're going to talk about in the next chapter, perfectionism. Many people are restless because they are perfectionists. They have to do everything. Or maybe you're a workaholic. You literally have elevated your work above Christ. It holds priority in your life. Like, Jesus doesn't call the shots. Your work does. Your boss does. The boss you don't even like calls the shots in your life. And that's what you work for. Reevaluate your life. Look at it through the lens of Scripture. Look at it through the lens of Christ. And ask yourself, am I restless because I'm striving to do something? I'm striving to be more productive. Is that the reason why I cannot find peace and lasting joy? And then, once you've done that, once you've identified that that's your problem, come to Christ. Come to Christ. I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about come to Jesus and say, God, I give you my schedule. I give you my to-do lists. These have been some practical helps. Very, very practical. We haven't really dove into the Scripture much with the last couple episodes, but I hope it's helped you, and I hope it's made you reevaluate your priorities. And we're going to look later on of what is Jesus's way of rest? What is Christ's way of rest? Instead of being productive, okay, instead of laying for ourselves treasures here on earth, what is it that Christ wants us to do? Instead of work, instead of toxic productivity, what is it that's the way of rest? And we'll talk about that later on.
Thank you for listening to the Navigators Podcast. Visit TylerARobertson.com and subscribe to our readers group for helpful articles, podcast updates, and book releases.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you want to read more articles, listen to more podcast episodes, or find more resources, you can go to TylerARobertson.com, TylerARobertson.com, and subscribe to all of that. We would love to have you as a part of our community as we grow in our faith, family, and leadership focus.